Welcome to the Hallelujah House, a home for Christian creatives. It's in the living room where you can get comfortable and listen in as childhood friends Liz Hammond and Tammy Carter Adams discuss the latest faith-based podcast. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable, kick off your shoes, and get ready to join in on the conversation.
Do you know what your unique call of the Lord is? And do you have a purpose that you know God gave you in your life? Do you know what a call is? And do you know the different types of calling? Today we're going to discuss all this at the Hallelujah House. So come on in. This is Tammy Carter Adams. Welcome to our living room at the Hallelujah House, where we tape all of our podcasts. And we are going to discuss this big mystery of the call. So get comfortable, grab your coffee, and let's get started by handing it over to the Father. Father God, we just thank you so much. We pray for those that are here today listening, Lord. I don't know who's listening, as we're on several channels and platforms, Lord, and I don't know the numbers, and I'm not focused on the numbers, Lord, but I just pray that this word is yours and that it goes forward and that I deliver it the way that is pleasing to you, Lord. And that it's a seed that's going to plant and become a harvest. You are the God that multiplies. We know this about you. You're a good, good God and faithful. And we love you so much. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay. So let's start with, what is a call? And I'm going to define this. And I'm going to read my definition that I have written in front of me. A call is the divine purpose God uniquely created you for, to partner with him in fulfilling in your life, to bring the truth of the gospel message to others and bring glory to God. All right, I got to say here, that is a complete run-on sentence. It is a awful sentence that I wrote here. I'm just realizing that, and I can just see my editor, Barbie, who's our editor on the Hallelujah House, she is like, what is that? And I could just see her red ink on this page, but I'm going to read it again anyway and try to ignore the run-on part of the sentence, but just listen to the different components, that the truth that's in it. It is a divine purpose God uniquely created you for, to partner with him and fulfilling in your life, to bring the truth of the gospel message to others and bring glory to God. Okay, so there are different types of calling. And the primary calling of God is this, is when God calls you to be a believer and he's inviting you and tugging on your heart to be in relationship with him. When he creates us, he creates us with this void that we have this longing for. In hopes that there's going to be a longing, that you're going to have a longing for a relationship with him, and that you're going to fill that empty space inside of you with Christ, okay, with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have this grow in a relationship with him, okay? But many times, he puts the call out to someone. He's tugging on their heart. They're hearing the message of the gospel. And yet they ignore it because they're chasing out. They're filling that place. They've already filled that place inside of them with other things. Or, you know, the chasing after things of the world, whether it be money, fame, glory, you know, their own glory, success, you know, even sometimes moms can fill that space, that void with their children. And what happens when their children grow up and leave the nest? All of a sudden they're empty, right? So, and they have like this life crisis of, what do I do next? Okay. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, he's going to guide and direct you as far as what's next in your life, this different seasons that you go through. So that is the primary calling. This is the most important calling of your life, is to be in relationship with God the Father by believing in Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, and receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, he comes inside and he's going to be the mediator. When the Father is speaking to you, he's going to put it in a language that you understand. We discussed this last podcast. All right. So that's why it's important. All three parts of the Trinity work together in the completeness of God through your life. All of them have a purpose in your life, and your life is purposed to be utilized for them, okay? So the secondary calling is what I've just called the unique calling. And it is under the umbrella of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is where God, before Christ went up into the clouds, he told his disciples and us, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." Okay, so that is the Great Commission. So we are basically, once you become a believer in Christ and you've answered that primary call of God, and you're abiding and you're following after God, and you're loving him and you're growing in your relationship. And we've discussed how to do that is by spending time with him, right? And we'll discuss that further. God is going to have a unique call. He has created each of us individually and given us certain talents and gifts, and throughout your life, it's and it can be something that your call can be something that is separate from your talent and gifts. Remember, he called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, right? And what was Moses' response? "Well, I can't speak well." And God, you know, I could just picture God just banging his head on his throne. "Oh, come on, you know, I am God. I am going to equip you. If I'm calling you to do something, he is going to equip you to handle whatever he calls you to do in your life. And you're going to have many callings in your life, dependent upon the season that you're in or where he has you living. It's all, you know, it's all conditional as to where he's placed you in your life, okay? I want to talk about when I was a calling on my life is writing, okay? I know I talk a lot about painting on here, but I think I'm more talented in writing than I am painting. I'm learning in painting. I'm kind of a student of paint. And to me, painting is, I always call painting my vacation. And writing is more tedious. It's more my something that I believe God has really developed in me throughout my life, you know, to share truth through words. So speaking, as you can see, is definitely not in my wheelhouse. But I do believe God has called me into, transitioned me into podcasts because the fact that many people don't read anymore. It's a shame, but I noticed, you know, over the years, I've blogged for 11 years. I've noticed that my blogs, the reading of my blogs has gone downhill. Well, meanwhile, podcasts has been on the rise because people like to listen as they're doing other things. We become multitaskers, right? So I had to transition my ministry over into podcasting. It's not to say I will never write a blog. I will. But I have been more focused on developing this platform a little bit more because I get more of an audience over here. So I have to go wherever the traffic is. And unfortunately, I didn't train myself as a young child. I'm a talker, but I'm not a speaker. And so I've been asked to speak on several occasions, and I always warn whoever asks me to speak, "Look, I'm a talker. I'm not a speaker. I just hope you realize what you're getting yourself into." And I get up on there on the stage with lots of prayer and trepidation, but it seems to, you know, God kind of takes the nerves and kind of works through me. And that's, you know, the calling. He's going to equip you at the moment. You have to be courageous enough to step in that space that he is calling you. That requires faith. It requires a faith in him that he is going to equip you with what you need in order to accomplish what he's called you to do, okay? I want to share when I was a little girl, I was basically, if I could describe myself, I was probably the biggest dreamer in my family. I mean, I thought I could do, you know, nothing. The sky was the limit, you know? And I remember my sister saying, "You're just such a dreamer. You're such a dreamer." Whereas her feet were firmly planted on the ground. But what was funny was her and I shared a bed, and at night she would nestle up in my arms, and she would we had this bedroom on the corner of the house, and it had three windows, and I remember that moon would shine right through our bedroom window and cast that bluish glow. Our windows were open because we didn't have air conditioning when I was young. So it was hot in the summertime, and I remember we had this ceiling fan, and our curtains would be just whipping, you know, and it was blowing air through the house, circulating air through the house. But we were probably a lot healthier then because we always had fresh air. But anyway, at night, you know, she would nestle in, and if the moon was full, she would say, "Okay, Tammy, do you think he's on the moon?" And I would make up stories and in rhyme about Mr. Goon who went to the moon to spend the afternoon. And she could not wait to hear what next adventure this Mr. Goon was going on. And my sister didn't like to read, and so I read her a lot of stories. You know, we found out later that she had kind of a learning disability when it came to reading. And so it was more of a struggle for her. So I loved reading. And so I would read, and I would tell her about worlds that were beyond the farming fields of our town. And I remember putting blankets out on the front yard, and she would, and I would tell her stories about how this cloud became a puppy and, you know, came down and visited us, and all these things I would make up, and she would just eat it up. But then she became an age where, you know, she would say, "Oh, you're just such a dreamer," you know, when I would tell her, "I'm going to be an archaeologist, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. I just thought I was going to be everything." Honestly, and my daughter Bella is so much like me. She has this big imagination. And last week she was a clothing designer, and we got the sewing machine, and we were sewing Barbie clothes. And this week, what did she say? Oh man, I can't remember. But this week, she was going to be a baker, and she was going to promise the neighbors. She printed out these flyers. She was going to deliver to the neighbors that she was going to bake them brownies. And she said $2 each. She was going to become an entrepreneur baker. But that meant mommy had to get involved. So I had to squash that because I was like, I had too much to do this weekend to do that. But anyway, you get my point. So when I was a girl, God was, you know, already speaking into me and giving me this imagination and creativity that I would discover as I became a teenager that I could write. And my father discovered it as well. And I had ADHD. And so I would be in the classroom and I'd be staring out the window. And I was always in my head imagining things. I mean, the teacher could say, "Airplane." I was on that airplane. I was heading off into another land and going to India and eating rice and curry or something. You know, that's just the way my mind worked. So when my father discovered I could write, he would come home with assignments. And my textbooks would just go flying off the bed onto the floor. And I could not wait to dive into that assignment that my father was going to give me. And I would write, I remember this one assignment clearly. And it was, he said, "I want you to write me a poem about where the daffodils grow." It was what he wanted. He said, "You know, when I come home and I'm driving home, you know, those daffodils are sprouting out in the middle of these old farming fields by the shack they never tore down. And, you know, those flowers come up every spring because they were planted probably way back in the early 1900s and they're still popping up. So I want you to think about that and write me a poem about it." And so I did. And then I'd hand it my father, all smiling, you know, have this poem. And he's like, "Relook at this." And he would mark it up and send me back to my room. And I mean, this happened about four or five times. And finally, you know, I worked so hard for that smile on his face. And he would nod and go, "Tammy, God made you a writer." That stuck with me. But when I got into college, I thought, how boring. Who wants to be a writer? I don't want to be a writer. They're boring. They sit at their typewriter all day. I want to be working on a campaign trail. I want to get into political science, and I'm going to be a campaign manager. or I want to be in the battlefield writing about it as a reporter, but I'm not going to sit in a room by myself writing. And you would think that because I thought that I'm an extrovert, but I'm really not. I am an introvert by nature, an outgoing introvert. When I'm around people, for too long groups of people, I have to come back, and this is where I refuel is alone. In my studio space, I like to be alone and work alone. And so anyway, that is an example of a calling. And this is, something that God has given me the talent for. He has, when he created me, he gave me an imagination. He gave me talent. And it's a craft that I've developed over the years. So I know that part of my calling is in writing. Another calling I've had on my life, and some of you may be able to relate to this more, is being a mother. Okay? He gave me 3 boys and a husband that traveled. And he really strengthened me and made me, I'm telling you, he made me a stronger woman raising 3 boys. And it wasn't easy. And they're great kids. I mean, by the way, I mean, I'm watching them now grow in the relationship with the father. I thought for years that they were lost. So if this gives you any hope, they're still a work in progress, but I know that they're working on themselves. They are working on trying to have that quiet time with the Lord. And I want to say this, that Colin, and this can fit into this calling thing, but Colin had texted me one night in the middle of the night recently. And he shared this at our little church gathering on the porch on Easter to all of our farm family. So I'm sure he won't mind me sharing the story. But Colin, my youngest, he's at college now, and he at the beach, and he goes off to the beach at 2:00 in the morning. He just texts me. He's like, "I'm at the beach alone. I wanted to spend time with God, and I brought my Bible out here, and I'm sitting all by myself, and I'm reading my Bible." And he said, and I just felt this desire, and I just prayed, and I really didn't say the words, but I was thinking, God, if you can really hear me praying to you today, tonight, I really need a sign. I really need a sign. And so when he prayed this prayer, this balloon, this heart-shaped metallic balloon came out of the sky and just drifted down and landed right on his lap. And he takes a picture of it and he sends this to me, and he is excited. He's like, "Can you believe this?" And some would say, "Well, that's just a coincidence," but I don't believe so. And I'll tell you why, because, God requires faith even when he gives us a little sign that he's there. And this was a sign, a heart-shaped balloon, after he has this thought, this overwhelming thought that, God, just please help me believe. He wants you to believe. Now, he says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that he will grow it. Just give it to him, right? And right there was Colin's faith of a mustard seed, that he called upon the Lord. That showed that when he said that prayer, he believed that God was in heaven. Even though he's asking for a sign, he believed. But him calling out to the Lord is his mustard seed faith. And how did God grow it? He sent him a sign that he heard him. But Colin still has to have the faith to believe that sign came from the Lord. Meaning this, Jesus didn't come walking across the ocean and said, "Here am I, son," right? I mean, God could have if he wanted to, but he wants our faith. He wants us to believe. Blessed are those who believe and do not see. But he gave this little simple sign that, yes, I'm here and I love you, but you still have to believe this is from me. And I love that about the Lord. So that is an example of a unique experience with the Lord when you're walking with him. And I want to ask, what is your... what is the unique thing that God has put in you that you can point back to your childhood, that maybe he put a dream on your heart and that you just never chose to follow that path or develop that skill or develop that craft. Some of you are painters. Some of you are writers. Some of you, are speakers. And some of you are excellent homemaking. You're in the arts of homemaking. You can be homesteaders that can teach other women how to do these skills that it takes to run a home. Okay? So I want you to think about that as we're going, we're going to go into God's word and we're going to talk about this parable, the seed and the sower. All right? So let's move on to Matthew 13, 1 through 9. And I'm going to read this passage and I want you guys to read along with me. And we're going to discuss why this is important, not only for the gospel call. I think many times as Christians, we look at this passage as only being about the gospel call, the seeds being the gospel. But you know what? The seeds are the gospel, but they're also the personal word that God may have given you. And I also want to be clear that a calling sometimes is out of your wheelhouse. I think I've discussed that before with me speaking, you know, that sometimes God calls me to do something like this podcast. I knew God was telling me transition over. It's okay. You know, I am not gifted. Like I said, I'm not gifted in speaking, but God is, you know, he's flowing through me. I've got a lot of ums and everything in my speech. I'm not professional, but still the message is getting delivered, right? And God is going to take all my, you know, hiccups in my speech and he's going to have people disregard it, and they're going to listen and they're going to get the full message of what I'm delivering, right? Because I'm walking in his will and I'm walking it out. Okay. And the more I do this, the more I'll get accustomed to it and it'll develop. Okay. Develop the skill. Okay. So let's go to parable of the sower. In this Matthew 13, starting in verse 1, I want to start. I always like to tell you where this is taking place, who is speaking. So let's set the stage by starting in 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. When Christ says, he who has ears, let him hear, I truly believe we are to really take focus on what Christ is saying. And ask God, if you don't understand in your quiet time and you're reading something like this, ask God to help reveal it to you. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it. He will permeate your spirit with the truth in your mind. And you're going to have a deeper understanding of it, okay? But stay on it. Camp on that scripture until you do have an understanding of it before you move forward in something else, okay? If I can encourage you for that. So in this, we are going to dissect this. And in verse, a sower is a farmer, and he's kind of tossing the seeds out, right? He's tossing, and this is going to be some type of grain seed. So he's tossing these seeds out. And the first thing that comes along is the birds to devour the seed. Now the birds represent the enemy. The enemy is going to steal this word or the gospel message. We're going to say word or gospel message, because the word could be an assignment that God has given you, or it can be a scripture that God wants you to focus on, because it could be something he's trying to use to convict you, all right? And somebody may have spoken a word to you, and you might be living in a temptation or sin, okay? And the bird is the enemy, and he's going to steal this word before it even takes root. Now, this person that allows this to happen, who hears the gospel or word from God, is so consumed with their temptation and sin, the seed doesn't even have a chance to root. Okay? They're living in the sin. They don't want to give it up. So they're allowing the enemy to steal that word that the Father is trying to give them. Let's go on to the rocky ground. The rocky ground, so the seed falls on the rocky ground, and because there's not much soil there, and they immediately, this little thing springs up. Picture this little grain, what's it called? A seedling, kind of seedling. The seed in the shallow dirt cracks, the seedling comes out, springs up from the ground. But because there's not enough soil and there's all these rocks that get hot from the sun, it scorches the seedling and it dies. Okay, so who is this person that allows this to happen in their life? So these are the people who hear the word, they become excited about it. They have an emotional response to it, and they start to believe. They start going to church. Let's say if it's the gospel word that they're receiving here, they have an emotional response to it. They feel a conviction. They get emotional about it. They start going to church, start reading their Bible. But then something comes along in their life, a hardship, an illness, or the life things that happen to us all, right? And it scorches their excitement and it draws it up, and they fall away, and they're no longer true Christians, I don't believe, because it was more of an emotional response rather than a true surrendering of their lives to the Lord. Okay. Or true faith, because if they had a true faith in Jesus Christ and the sun comes and scorches their life, right? By the illness or the financial struggle or the husband that leaves them or the wife that leaves it, whatever their crisis may be, they had a true faith, then they would walk with Jesus through it. They would know that God was there to help them through it, and they would lean on the Father through that terrible time. So that a terrible time normally takes a lot of people. You start to see who has a true faith in the Father and who doesn't, because that faith just kind of dissipates like their seedling, okay? So let's move on to the thorns. This is someone who hears the word but becomes distracted by life. So you can picture this seedling, it springs up, and then all the thorns start, the thorn bushes around it wraps around this seedling and kind of chokes the life out of it, okay? I hope I've got seedling is right? Seedling, I think. So anyway, the thorns are your distractions. You're allowing the things that come up in your life to choke out, to choke out and absorb your mind space, your thoughts, your actions, your life. You're chasing after the wind, basically, and you're not dwelling with the Father, having a quiet time, sitting still in his presence, spending time in his word, praying, developing the relationship into a true relationship with the Father by having that quiet time. It's very, very important. Okay. These are people that kind of shelf the Lord. They're cultural Christians. They say, I'm a Christian, but they have no fruit to show in their life that they are, because there hasn't been a sanctification. So I think that I call them cultural Christians, because it's kind of like they'll put, God, it's more religion than relationship, okay? They show up at Easter, they show up at Christmas, or, they remember the Christmas story and share it with their kids, but they don't have a true abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. And because the thorns in their life steal it away. And the thorns, in worldly view, can be good things like money, like fame, like success. So now that we know that birds, the rocky ground, and what the thorns represent, I want to pose the question, has there been something that the Lord has given you and that you've allowed the enemy to steal because you were in a season of sin or in temptation in your life, that became your mental focus? Like it could be addictions. It could be, it's just something that you're focused on so much that you didn't want to hear what the Lord had for you. Or the rocky ground where, you know, it's you responded in excitement. Let me tell you, I have experienced all three of these in my life. I responded in excitement, and then the excitement faded because I allowed, you know, some hardship, something to come into my life, that something came into my life, and I, instead of handing it off to the Lord, my focus and energy became in self-preservation, and I did not continue pursuing what it was that God wanted me to do, right? Also, the thorns. There's been times in my life that the thorns have come in and distracted me from something God wanted me to do. I've missed many opportunities in my life that God has given me a word or a calling out to do something, and I've allowed all three of these to come in and steal that away. But God is faithful. God is merciful, and I rely on that mercy and His faithfulness every day, and grace that Christ has given me in my life. And I hope you do too. So let's talk about what the good soil is, okay? And let me just say this here. I know all of us are going to be in heaven one day, and my pastor said this recently, and it really kind of stuck with me, that, remember it said there will be no, He will wipe your tears in heaven. We always say there's no tears in heaven, but He will wipe your tears in heaven. And my pastor had pointed out maybe that will be all those opportunities that we missed on this earth to be a witness or to share our stories or to paint that painting and give glory to God through it. And we, because God had that person He wanted us to bring to Him, and we missed that opportunity to partner with God in that, and that might be what we're crying about, and Christ is going to wipe our tears, because it is through grace that we're saved. Thank the Lord, and not through our works, because if it was through my works, I'd be in serious trouble, honestly. Okay, so let's talk about the good soil. And there are three things. I went and looked up what in farming, what do farmers need to have good soil? And I thought, oh, this is cool, because it really relates to what Christ is using here in His teaching, and what produces grain. So these are the three things that a good soil needs. Organic matter. One of the things is organic matter. What are we putting into ourselves? That's what we need to ask ourselves here. What are we putting in? Are we spending time fertilizing our soils and God's word? This is where the quiet time comes in. Do we have relationships with godly, wise people who are speaking into us? Or are we surrounding ourselves with people that are foolish and chasing after the big dream, the American dream, as we like to call it, consumerism, chasing after the next big pleasure and party? Are these the people we're surrounding ourselves with? Then we need to take a step back and really look. I used to tell my boys all the time growing up, I would say it over and over and over again. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. If you surround yourselves with guys that, you know, want to smoke pot all day and you know, basically kill their ambitions in life and not have any drive to do anything, then that's what you're going to become. And that's true. Teenagers especially, it's who you surround yourself with. But if you surround yourself with guys who want to follow, you know, please the father, want to do well in school, honor their mother and father with their life, okay, then, and they're not embarrassment to their families, and they're going to rub off on you. You know, their opinion of you is going to matter. So you're going to try and fit in with that mentality, right? And that's kind of what this organic matter is. Surround yourself. Your close relationships need to be people that are abiding. People that, I think every young woman should have an older woman who's a disciple to her, that disciples her and teaches her God's ways and has been through the gamut on things, has raised her children, has experienced, you know, things in her life that have this young mom hasn't experienced yet, and she can guide and kind of speak into her life a little bit. That is so needed. That's why God calls us into being community, and we are brother and sisters in Christ, right? So that is going to be your organic matter, okay? What are you feasting on? Are you feasting on pop culture? Are you feasting on the Word of God, the wisdom of others that are godly people, and feasting on prayer time and being still in the Father, okay? And church and all of these things, okay? Moisture. So I know you know what moisture is if you've heard my previous podcasts. Moisture is the living water, Jesus. He is the one that will keep your soil moist. Are we learning his voice? Are we spending time with him in learning the voice of our shepherd? He says, the sheep know my voice. You will know his voice if you're spending time with him and you have a true faith in the Father and you're by abiding in Jesus Christ. You're going to know his voice. And the third thing is that soil needs is aeration. Soil must be aerated. And this is the tilling of the Holy Spirit through conviction, revealing truth. He keeps your heart soft and he's tilling it up and adding oxygen into your soil of your heart, right? So when you're let's dissect that a little bit. So you're reading the Word of God and God says the Word of God is the living, breathing Word of God. It's a miraculous book, okay? It can speak into your life. It could be talking about something that happened in ancient times, right? But God can take that story and he can put it inside of you and the Holy Spirit can give you a personal reflection on how to apply that to something you're going on in your life. That's how the book is miraculous. And if you don't spend time in it, you're never going to understand the way it can speak into your life. I'll never forget this. I was in a rebellious time of my life. My husband and I, at the time, we had young boys. We chased the music industry. We were chasing after the music industry. Pop culture, that was during the boy band phenomenon that was breaking loose in Orlando. We were supporting basically a boy band with another couple that were friends of ours. And my husband was working in development and the money was going to the profit was going to support this boy band. And we were going to push them forward and they were going to be number one on the charts, let me tell you. And, I mean, we were going around. I look back at it now and I'm like, it's so embarrassing. We were so silly. But I remember flying to Virginia and being in a living room and trying to start street teams to start spreading this music. I mean, and then one night we're in New York and we're at this big, you know, it was like a warehouse kind of thing. But it was a concert hall and our guys were performing and I'm sitting there and I'm kind of dancing and getting my groove on. And I look out across the vast numbers of young people. And a lot of them were high, a lot of them, and they were cursing at our guys. Our guys were too clean, I guess, for them. I don't know. And God spoke into me right then and said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I felt this overwhelming conviction of being in that place because it was smoky. Some of them were high and out of their heads and spinning around. And you may have been in a place like that. And God has spoken to you and you felt this tugging of the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to be here. This is not what I have for you. I have something better for you than this. This is the world you're chasing. So it wasn't long after that I was rolling quarters to put gas in my husband's car. We lost so much through that journey. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God, and let me tell you, I was taking a bath one night and I was crying out to the Lord because we had just gotten into a new house and we had no idea where the mortgage was going to come to pay for it. My husband started a new job and he was working for someone else. And let me tell you, you have to suffer the consequences of those straying periods, right? There are consequences for those times, and we paid a severe consequence. My husband was, his new job required him to be gone Tuesday to Friday, and he lived in Phoenix. So here I am alone as a mom raising these two boys. The second year he did this, I got pregnant with my third. And I am, you know, doing it all on my own. And I have a big respect for single mothers and a passion to help single mothers because of that journey that God put me on. But anyway, I remember I was in the bathtub and I opened up my Bible for the first time. You know, you rub the dust off of it, take it off the shelf. And I opened up my Bible and I'm like, I didn't know where to turn. I just said, God, just speak to me, please. Just show me you're there. And I allowed the Bible to open up and fall open. And in it, the verse came out to me that he will hold us up with his righteous hand, with his right hand, that he was going to hold us up, basically. It was this passage. And I remember I just felt the joy of the Lord in that moment. Got out of the bathtub, ran, showed Jay, and I said, look at this passage. He's telling me he's going to hold us up through this, but we're going to have to rely on him. And sure enough, he did. The day that our mortgage payment was due, my husband got paid that day. So we struggled a bit financially. We were struggling to pay our debts and all of that. And but God held us up. He was able to hold us up through it. And then before long, you know, he got us out from underneath all of it. And I started praying after these 2 years that God would bring another employment opportunity to my husband, because I was by this point swollen with child. And during that year, I ended up, those 2 years, God called me into a women's Bible study. I surrounded myself with Christian women, had some friendships that were true. These women had so much wisdom and they were speaking into me in my life. I was learning about the Word of God and I became more active in the church during this time. And, you know, having this big belly, I remember telling my ladies, I was like, I just do not want to be a single mom with three boys. I mean, it's hard. And I said, can you guys help me pray that God will send him another employment opportunity, my husband, another employment opportunity, and hopefully he's not going to have to travel like this. And he did. And I prayed specifically that his employer would be a Christian, he would know the importance of family, and that he wouldn't have to travel. Those were the three things that I really wanted, and that we would be able to pay, of course, our bills, you know, and that provision would be provided. And God met all three of those things. The guy he was actually in competition with in Phoenix, another developer, ended up coming to be hired in Tampa. He decided to take over his half-brother's business, DeBarlo Development. And he called Jay, seeing what Jay could do, he called Jay and offered him a job during that time. And so I go and I meet them as a couple. His name was Ed Coble and Becky Coble. We go and we have breakfast and I meet them for the first time because Jay said he had learned through these experiences to trust me and my opinion as his wife, and he cherished my opinion. And for you husbands out there, you better cherish your wife's opinion, because sometimes we can see things that you can't, honestly. So he took me to meet Ed and Becky, and I was in my end of my pregnancy at this point, and I really liked them. And to this day, they are family to us. They are my family. I consider them my brother and my sister in Christ. And we have a farmhouse on the farm out in Georgia together, and we get together and we have church out there, and we, you know, we just lift each other up in prayer, and also we keep each other accountable. So I hope you have people like that in your life, but I wanted to give you that because I want you to know that my journey has consisted of chasing after the world and some severe consequences of that. But God spoke to me through it. He called us out of it. He redirected our path and put us on a better path. And through that, and on that path, there were struggles, but we followed him through that valley and we came out the other side. And so there's hopefully that gives hope to some of you. So turn up the oil, turn up your soil. Make sure you are putting your organic matter in your soil. By reading God's word and having godly relationships, you are putting the moisture in by abiding in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living water, and learning the voice of him, learning his voice, and you're aerating your soil by allowing the tilling of the Holy Spirit. And when you're convicted of something, that you adhere to that conviction, confess your sin, and move forward in the better path that God might have for you. Follow his redirection. All right. I hope this word, I hope this helps somebody out there. And if you like it, and if it did help you, share your story. You can send me a private email. I love to read the private emails, and that's at TammyCarterAdams@thehallelujahhouse.com. Or you can comment in the comments on the podcast. And we hope that you'll come over to www.thehallelujahhouse.com. That's a lot to say. Thehallelujahhouse.com. Come on over and subscribe to our blog, where you can receive anytime there's a tutorial on Instagram. You're going to see it there. It is like the hub of where all the action takes place. So you're not going to miss anything if you subscribe to the blog itself. Okay? Love you guys. And I'm going to close this in prayer. Father God, I pray that this is the word you wanted me to deliver. And I have taped this 3 times and changed the story every time. But this time I allowed you to lead me and guide me into what you wanted me to talk about. And I think that this is it. So we're going to send this forward. We love you, Lord. And this is for your glory. I pray that if there are those out there who have not heeded the gospel call, on that you want a relationship with them, that they will do so today, Lord, that they will believe that you love them, you're a good God and faithful, and that they believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again for them, and so that they may have grace, and then they can walk in the freedom of that grace, Lord, and that they can make mistakes and not lose their salvation, Lord. And that they will be found in your kingdom. For your glory, Lord, in your name, amen. All right, I'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.